STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
When Joshua Alcorn turned 14 years old, he told his Christian parents that he was a girl named Leela. 3 years later, he stepped in front of oncoming freeway traffic and killed himself. Now, many people in the media blamed his parents for this. They said his family resisted Joshua's new female gender and denied his request for a sex changer operation and then forced him into quote-unquote conversion therapy. So his suicide then prompted this petition to ban attempts to change gender identity or to change same-sex attraction. In fact, California, New Jersey, and even Washington, D.C. already have laws that have been passed against this kind of therapy for minors. Now, even the President of the United States now has shown some support to ban conversion therapy. Now, the problem, though, with all of this discussion, especially this national discussion that we're having, is that there is a lack of clarity and nuance on this very important topic, and no one is defining terms. You see, the terms conversion therapy or reparative therapy are being used as general terms to refer to all attempts to change one's sexual orientation. And this is completely incorrect. You see, reparative therapy in particular is not a general term. Rather, it's a specific type of therapy performed only by specialized clinicians. Now, most marriage and family therapists are not trained in reparative therapy. In fact, very few people know how to practice it. For several years now, I've actually been meeting with therapists who are qualified to use it and their clients who have been who've benefited from its effectiveness. Now, these people were not harmed, but rather experienced a tremendous amount of healing and wholeness. Now, part of reparative therapy's bad press stems from its name, and I can understand that, okay? It sounds like the therapist is somehow repairing or fixing the client. The truth is almost the opposite, though. The word reparative is not a reference to what the therapist is doing, but to what the homosexual is doing. You see, homoerotic urges are a subconscious attempt by the homosexual person to repair unmet psychological needs. In other words, the homosexual drive is a reparative drive. So a reparative therapist, then, is a clinician who recognizes this is the condition of the person who identifies as gay or lesbian, and then he helps the homosexual heal his emotional or psychological wounds. And oftentimes by doing that, the same-sex attraction diminishes as a result of that restoration. Now, the problem arises when genuine reparative therapy is lumped together with all attempts to change one's sexual orientation, whether the attempt is legitimate or completely illegitimate and crazy. And just to give you an example of this, former Christian singer Vicky Beeching recently said in this article that she wrote that she, quote, tried to pray the gay away, end quote, and then ended up in a hospital bed. And as she explains her story, she says that she asked her youth group to pray for her same-sex attraction to go away. Now, according to her story, the prayers didn't work, and that's what caused her so much distress that she became ill. Now, others with same-sex attraction have sought pastoral counseling, some have tried shock therapy, and even drugs to no avail. And so people mistakenly believe these methods are types of reparative therapy, when they're not, and consequently dismiss them as ineffective and dangerous. And that's why when you hear people mention, quote-unquote, reparative therapy or conversion therapy or praying the gay away, they're almost certainly not referring to bona fide reparative therapy. How do I know? Well, because when they end up describing the therapy they got, it sounds nothing like true reparative therapy. For example, the White House website says conversion therapy is, quote, a practice in which doctors try to convince LGBTQ plus people to change a sexual orientation or gender identity, end quote. Now, real reparative therapy is never coercive. In fact, it can't work unless the therapist and the client work together towards objectives that are defined by the client. It has to be the client's goals. And the children reportedly dragged to therapy by their parents must have been taken somewhere other than to a reparative therapist, because that never can happen. It would never work with reparative therapy. Just to give you another example here, White House staffer Jay Davis, in a video condemning all methods of changing sexual orientation, said, quote, "Imagine if you were told everything you believe about your gender is wrong. The person you feel yourself to be, you're incorrect about that. That's essentially what we're doing with conversion therapy," end quote. Again, reparative therapists don't demean their clients. Many times they'll actually end up treating a client's other concerns, like depression, for example, even if that client doesn't want to do anything to diminish his same-sex attraction. And so attempts to ban conversion therapy would actually end up stopping genuine reparative therapy from taking place and possibly preventing other types of legitimate clinical work from occurring. And this would then prevent clinicians from continuing to help men and women who have unwanted same-sex attraction. So hopefully then this clarifies this controversy at least a little bit so that you won't be misled by what you read or hear, but you'll be able to discern the truth from the error when people are talking about reparative therapy or other types of sexual orientation change efforts.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.